Sent from heaven above, there never was a sweeter melody. 'Tis the melody of love. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody of love.
Okay, let's sing the third verse, and when we get to that third verse on the chorus, we're going to sing "There Rings a Melody," okay? Sing it with me.
'Twill be my endless theme in glory, with the angels I will sing. 'Twill be a song with glorious harmony, when the courts of heaven ring. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody of love.
Pastor?
Amen. Thank you, Brother John, Miss April. It's good to see you this morning. I like it when we all gather in here once in a while for Sunday school. Gives me an idea who's showing up for Sunday school and who's sneaking in between. So, no, I'm not taking notes. Don't worry about it. But we're going to begin with prayer. And let's just do that as we begin. Father, we thank you today for your blessings to us. We sure thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and what he means to us that are saved. We ask you, Father, that everything that would go on during this hour would please you. We sure thank you that Brother Thomas could be with us, and pray that you'd use him in a special way in this hour, that our hearts would be dealt with regardless of what the situation and need might be, that we'd certainly sense the working, the brooding of your Holy Spirit in our midst. Thank you, Father, for each one of these ones present, for the rest of the Sunday school as they meet. Lord, do tremendous things today. Certainly we'd pray that Jesus would be exalted and magnified in everything that would take place here. In his name, for his glory, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You should have known that there was a Sunday school seminar going on here yesterday for our teachers. And I can't speak for all them, but I can sure speak for this teacher, that I enjoyed it very much. Appreciated Brother Thomas and the information, the encouragement, the challenge that he brought to us. And we have him still for this morning, for the Sunday school hour and the morning service. And so we wanted to take advantage of that. And so please, you pray for him. And Brother Thomas, if you want to give just a little bit of word about who you are and what the Lord has used you for over the last couple of years, that would be great too. So please, you pray for Brother Thomas as he comes. Brother.
Hey, thank you, Pastor. Thank you, sir. As they say everywhere, am I on? Yes, I'm on now. Okay, thank you so much for being here. And I'm looking forward to our time together here. Yesterday, we had a wonderful time with all the teachers and workers that were in there. We talked about 4 hours. If you can stand anybody talking for 4 hours, I can't take anybody much more than 30 minutes. But we had a workbook for them to go through, 70-page workbook, and we had a great time in there, all about teaching. So by next Sunday, in your Sunday school class, expect great things to happen. maybe give them a little bit more time than that, though. Because that's one thing. It takes a little bit of time sometimes when you start working on that. But we train teachers. I've been in ministry about 46 years now. I spent 20 years with Dr. Lee Robertson in Chattanooga. And can I push this down a little bit? It's wiggling. in Chattanooga, which was back in those days was a big church, second largest church in the nation at that time. And great opportunity to be with a man like that for 20 years. Worked with the children and teenagers, and that's all I've ever worked with. I can't stand the. I mean, I can't take on the adults. I just work with the good ones down at the younger ages, because they'll listen to you and they'll do things and they'll serve the Lord and all that kind of thing. It's great, great, great area to be in, to give your whole life to. So we've been in that all of our lives now, and we're trying to train teachers how to work with different ones. We have a children's ministry called Master Clubs. This goes from 3-year-olds through the 6th grade, which is very crucial today, because any church, every church we're in, you're always trying to build the next generation. If you don't work toward the next generation, you won't have a new generation to take over in the church ministry. So we go back to the little bitty ones at 3-year-olds. We start working with them and all the way through the 6th grade, because vital years, because now they're starting to usher into the junior high, which is kind of la-la land there, and senior high, and then on out to their careers and all the things that God can do with them the rest of their life. So a lot of decisions are being made there. They learn actually just about as much as they're going to learn of the main things that you'll learn in life by the age of 9 years of age. So we work hard with that. We have about 600 churches now. It's about 25,000 kids a week involved in that. And we do a lot of things with teens and so forth. Today, I hope you have a handout there. Now, mine happens to be green, but yours is white there. But I want you to grab a hold of this. We're going to go through it and have a pen or pencil or sharpen your fingernail. Do something there that you can scribble a few words in. You don't have many to put in, but every now and then I want to give you something you can mark and do with like that. It'll keep your attention a little bit better and help you remember those as the time you go home. I want you to turn in the Bible, in your Bible, to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. We're going to use a familiar passage. It's the one on Jesus and the 10 lepers. You remember he healed 10 and only one. Only one out of 10 came back to simply say, "Thank you, Lord." Everybody got a handout? Raise your hand if you don't have one, please. Over here to your right and right there. Okay, just keep it up till you get one, because it'd be good for you to have it and take it home with you. And remember some of these things, because we're going to talk about something very, very important to all of us. And I think it'll help you. In Luke 17, verses 11 through 19 is the story of the 10 lepers. You've probably heard it many, many times in Sunday school. You've probably heard many sermons on it, because it's a wonderful, wonderful passage. It's about not that they had leprosy or something. That's one of the most awful things a person could ever get in his life. Leprosy will eat the fingers right off your hand, and you're still alive. It's a terrible disease, and nobody wants that. But here was an illustration that God gave us, that, and he's doing the speaking through most of this, and that was about the 10 lepers. Now, look at your notes there. What we're talking about today is, in everything, give thanks. That word everything kind of throws a lot of us off. We know we ought to be a thankful person, a grateful person, just to think of all the things that God has done for us, much less others who love us do for us, much others that don't even are not even related to us do wonderful things for us. And they're kind to us, and they're helpful to us, and they're giving to us. We have tons of things to be thankful for. The question is, when's the last time we thank God for those things, for somebody or somebody we don't even know that did something for us? So we're talking about, in everything, give thanks. Let me start off with a little clip of a story, just a couple things. I did this yesterday because it came up as an illustration in our teacher training. And it starts with this story here. Now, if I was in the children's church today, I'd start it off this way. In a little town on the top of a hill, at the end of a narrow street, a kind old man with tears in his eyes wiped the dust from his tired feet. He sat with Hiram and stared at the ground. The words were hard to say. "Hiram," he said, I have very sad news. You must leave this town right away. You have a disease called leprosy." Ooh, that was an awful word in that day and time. We're not around it very much. It doesn't affect us like that. But boy, your whole body just shuddered back then when you heard of leprosy. So you must leave this town right away because you have a terrible disease called leprosy. No one should ever come close to you. So if you should meet a stranger, cry out very loudly, "Unclean, stay away," to warn him about the danger. Well, Hiram left town. He felt hurt and alone when everyone called him unclean, unclean. Oh, he wanted to say goodbye to his friends, but they were afraid to be seen. They hid behind doorways and peeked around walls and climbed up the tallest trees. They were so frightened, they stayed far away from their friend with the dreaded disease. Now, if you want the rest of that story, you have to go to children's church. But that's the gist of what this is right here, verses 11 through 19. Now, let's start with another verse here. Here comes your first words to fill in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. It's written out for you right here. In everything, God says, give thanks. That's your first word. Give it. That's what we're talking about today. Not just be thankful. That was nice what he did for me. But give thanks. So, put it down in your words there, and you have to watch now. I need to see you writing because I walk around and I watch, and if I see somebody not writing, I use you as a bad example, see. And you have to come up, make a speech, and tell us why you're not writing, things like that. It's awful. So you don't want to do that. All right, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You want to be doing the will of God? You've heard about doing the will of God. This is part of God's will. He says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So that's a beautiful verse for us. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. We ought to know that verse already, memorize it, say it to ourselves all the time. It'll help us keep straight in this area that God wants in our life. It's His will for us to be grateful, thankful, giving, and so on. All right? So, it starts with an attitude. I must agree with God that that's the right way to live as a child of God. And then I agree also that it is the will of God because He tells me it is. It's His will. So, there's no debate about this at all. It's a matter of having the right attitude about it. I agree with it, but that demands action. There ought to be some action in my life that proves that I believe that. That proves to the Lord that I want Your will for my life, dear Lord. I want to be this kind of person right here. All right, go down to number one there. Thankfulness is God's will. It's God's will. That's your words right there. It is God's will. It's His desire for our lives. It's our obedience to His will that He is concerned about every day of our life. Because if I live this way, if I'm a grateful person, if I'm a giving person, if I give thanks often, I'm in the center of God's will in that area of my life. So thankfulness is God's will. Now, look down below there. It says, I'm thankful for it. It has a little blank name and one and two. I want you to, right now, I'm going to give you a little time to do this. I want you to think of just one person. You could think of many. Maybe mom, dad, grandparents, a pastor, teacher, coach, friend, one in your own peer group that's a good friend or whatever. Just one name, though. I know you could think of many. And I want you to put down, one and two, put down why are you thankful for them. All right. And then in just a minute, I want some of you to share those with us. OK. All right. Think of just one person now. And why am I thankful for that person? Just a couple of thoughts real quick. Now I'm going to start back, kind of in the back here, and then I'll work my way back to the front. Somebody in this section over here, just raise your hand. I want you to share with me something you got down on your notes. Yes, ma'am. Your husband. Woo! That's great. I know you didn't hear all that at the top. Help me with that. He's your husband, and what was the thing again?
He's the spiritual leader.
Spiritual leader of our home.
Loves me no matter what.
Loves me no matter what.
And has always treated me with respect.
Always retrieved me with respect
and kindness.
Woo! Why did I start off with that one? That ruined some of us' day. But that's great. That's great. That's how she feels. That's what she has lived with. And that's what she's open to say. Isn't it a great way to be just recognize what's happening in your life? Anybody else over here on this side? Anybody else? Right here in the middle. Yes, ma'am. Elisa Little? Okay. All right. Lives her life as a testimony. Encourages her. Other things on her list. Somebody else? Yes, ma'am. Pastor Ms. Turner?
Always there for us.
Always help to keep this church a happy, safe place to come of worship. Yeah. Wonderful, wonderful. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am? Your parents? Uh-huh. Yeah. Wow, wonderful. Her parents always at church, always was a deacon, Sunday school teacher for mom, everything. She grew up like that, grew up in a home like that. Some of us didn't grow up in a home like that. Different story. But there's still good things that happen there. Anybody else right in here? Anybody else? All right, on down to this side over here. Somebody else? Got one? Got one, girls? Got one? All right, anybody else? Come on now, it's your chance to... Okay, yes, ma'am.
I put my husband.
Your husband?
Yeah, right here.
Right there.
Yes, Mr. Gerardo. He loves me unconditionally.
Loves you unconditionally. That's an absolute necessity for a loving home.
Amen.
Wonderful.
And then I put that he has a servant's heart.
Servant's heart.
Yes.
Mm. Then keep a tight rein on him the rest of your life. You're not going anywhere. Okay. All right. Could I please have a man? I've had all ladies. Yeah, here's a man right here on the front. Give it. What you got? Your parents, okay?
Yes, and for taking me to church and taking me places.
Yeah.
And for also raising me right.
Yeah, great. When a teenager realizes his parents are raising him right, something good going on in that place, you know. That's wonderful. Somebody else? Any other guy? Yeah.
A man named Caleb Andrews because he led me to the Lord.
Caleb Andrews led you to the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Great. Anybody else in this section right here? Boy, I'm getting all the men now. Ladies, I didn't mean to cut you out there, but we'll just take two or three more here maybe. Yes, sir, right here.
I'm thankful for my wife.
Your wife?
They're talking about unconditional love.
Yeah.
She's been doing it for 53 years.
Been doing it. Unconditional love 53 years. With a guy like you.
Yeah.
Boy. A guy like me. Yeah. You have one?
Well, I know you said people here like you.
Yeah, anybody. Yeah.
But first in my life is Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I just thank him.
Absolutely.
I mean, he's the one that gives me, died for me, that I may have life. So,
right.
So that's why I am. That's why I wrote down. Because
wonderful.
Jesus is first before my wife, my mother, my children. It is Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen.
It first told us, isn't it?
Amen.
That comes first. Anybody else? All right, just take maybe one or two more here. Yeah.
Thankful for my wife. She loves me unconditionally, and I know that's hard sometimes. She's a godly woman.
Yeah.
But most of all, I'm thankful for my wife because she's not the biological mother of my children,
mm-hmm.
but she chooses every day to get up and love my kids like
yeah.
her own.
Isn't that something?
And
yeah.
that means so much to me.
Amen.
God puts that in her heart, and her love expresses it to you and to your whole family. Isn't that wonderful? That's great. Anybody over here, please? Anybody? Okay, on down here in this group. One or two? Anybody? Stop looking. Say something now. Anybody? Quickly. You got your hand up.
I'm thankful for my pastor.
Your pastor?
He stands up for the truth and preaches the word of God.
Stand for the truth.
He's kind. He's always listening.
Kind. Listening.
And he's a Texas Rangers fan.
And he's a Texas Ranger fan.
Amen.
Since I'm originally from Tennessee, what's that got to do with it? Okay. All right. Now, here's the idea. You know, you can put many names down. You know that. And you can put many more reasons down. You know that. But here's the question. When's the last time that I told them that? See, I can feel a lot of things in my heart. And I can look at somebody and say, boy, that was great what he did for me. Thank you, Lord, for what he did for me. I can even thank God for it and never say a word to him or her, you know. But God wants us to live like that, all right? We'll see this. So look at your notes again there. Letter A, thankfulness pleases God. Our first thought, thankfulness is God's will, all right? It is the will of God for me that I be that kind of person, all right? Now, thankfulness pleases God. It pleases God. Now, let's look at the scripture we have here. Look at in your Luke 17 there. Go down to about verse 15. And one of them, when he saw, one out of the ten, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. We know what happened. He turned, came back, and fell before the Lord and thanked him. How many instantly cleansed of leprosy? No more. Now he can not only not have leprosy, but he can go back to his home and his family now. Wow, what God did for him in just a moment of time, and it was done for him. So look in verse 15 there. God tells us there twice in this passage. God tells us that what happened? He with a loud voice, he did what? He glorified God. Glorified God when he said, I'm thankful. I'm thankful, dear God, that you did this. All right. Look down in verse 17. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Where are the 9 others that went home absolutely free of leprosy? Verse 18. There are not found that returned to give glory to God, save this stranger, this one person. They did not come and give glory to God for their healing. One out of 10 did. But God tells us twice that if you give God the glory due unto Him and be grateful to Him for what He's done for me, it brings glory. The very act of that brings glory to God. And I think it's one of the greatest ways you could possibly live is being thankful and grateful. Amen. Grateful person. Only one, though, came back in this situation. You know, sometimes we don't do that because we're not in the habit of doing that. A lot of things in the Christian life, we know we're supposed to live like that, but we hardly ever do it because we never remember to do it as we go through the day. I think one of the greatest things that ever helped me is I put a little card in my pocket, just a little card. And I've had pray on there many times because my prayer life kind of dwindles down. So I'm not praying anywhere near what I used to be praying like. I go through a whole day sometimes and don't even realize I'm working hard. I'm trying to do something even in the ministry. And yet I realize at the end of the day, I've worked as hard as I can work, but I haven't prayed a lick over the thing. Forgot all about it. That's a habit that's starting my life because I started doing it just a few times a day and then less and less and less and less. But I put a thing like this. I put this in my pocket. I've had this one in my pocket many times. Give thanks. That's what we're talking about here. And I put that in my pocket as I walk out the day, or put my, not my purse, but my wife has a purse. But as I go through the day, I can feel something in my pocket. And I reach in there and I say, oh yeah, give thanks. Dear Lord, I want to thank you for saving my whole family. Oh, dear God, thank you for saving Janice and for saving Sarah and Bobby and Jimmy and Paul. And thank you for saving me, dear God. Thank you, sir. And I go on my way. Just say kind of a quickie type prayer. But it's, I'm communicating with the Lord. I'm realizing I'm conscious of His presence with me all through the day. So I can walk and talk with Him anytime I want to. And so I go a little bit later. I feel that thing again. I reach in there, give thanks. Dear Lord, I want to thank you for giving me a place to serve you. Lord, I couldn't go a day without serving you some way. Thank you, dear God, for doing that. Thank you, sir. And I go my way. And all of a sudden, I start getting back in the habit. The next time I feel that card, I don't even have to pull it out and look at it. I know what's on it. But it reminds me. Just a swipe of my fingers like that reminds me, give thanks. And I just, wherever I'm doing, I'm driving or whatever, I just give God thanks. And all of a sudden, I get up to where I'm doing it 15, 20 times a day. I'm just saying those little prayers to Him. But it shows, I think it shows God that I love Him and I want to be conscious of His presence and I want to live like this. It's hard for us in this day and time and all the stuff we got going on in our lives and everything to really stop and give God glory for anything throughout the day. But we should. And God tells us that. So it's God's will. And then A is thankfulness pleases God. Brings glory to God in verse 15 in your blank there and verse 18. He says that brings glory to God. You know, if you live 65 years of age, well, I'm past due. I turned 75 this year, but I'm not dead yet, okay? I still got that going for me. I still got life going, all right? But if I just gave God glory, just like that, I think that gives God glory. I credit what is happening to me to God. That gives God glory. And I want to tell him that. And so if I just did that, if you live 65 years, that's approximately 24,000 days. And if I just thank God for something once a day, that's 24,000 times I could give glory to God. If I just did it twice a day, how much is that anyway? That's 24,000 times I could give glory to God. Four times a day, 98,000 times I could give God the glory before I go and meet my God. Wouldn't that be a wonderful way to live? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Just fill Him up with glory, you know? So sometimes we need to just do that. Look at the very bottom down to B there. Thankfulness is an expression. It's goodness. It's kindness, it's good works, it's pleasing to God. That's what it is. So maybe I should work on that. I can start even today. All right, let's turn to the next page. Here's another beautiful verse there in Ephesians 4:32. It says, "Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." Beautiful verse, Ephesians 4:32. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Beautiful, beautiful verse. Now, when do I live like that? Some of you last year when we were up the road a little piece in teacher training were there, and you saw my son Paul. He just turned 32 a couple weeks ago. He's a Down syndrome boy. God gave us three children. They're about the oldest, the youngest was 7 years older than Paul. We had three children, almost bang, bang, bang. And then all of a sudden, 7 years went by. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, God gave us one of the greatest blessings that He could ever do. God graces our home with a Down syndrome child. One of the greatest things ever happened to us. Greatest thing. So we put these little brochures in churches and things across the country. But let me give you let me just read a couple of lines here from this and show you how a Down's child will make us look silly in this thing of being thankful. You'll never out express yourself with a Down's child. You'll never thank them first. They'll always thank you first. You'll never outlove a Down's child. Never. Let me give you a couple of ideas. Paul works at the Arbors. That's a nursing assisted living home. He's been there 11 years now. A few months ago, he was the employee of the month. And this is over a place that employs well over 100 workers in there. And he was employee of the month. He loves elderly folks. Loves elderly folks. He loves telling little ladies how pretty they are. He loves telling younger ones how pretty. I've got to watch that with him too. Once at our church, a widow of 10 years came into my wife's ladies' class in tears. Janice asked her, "What's wrong?" She replied, "Oh, it's Paul again." Thinking the worst, you know, what did he do this time? Janice pursued what he had said. The lady again replied, "Oh, he kissed me and told me how pretty I was. And I just realized it's been 10 years since someone said that to me." It takes a little Down syndrome child to make such a difference in her life. She had tears pouring down her face. How Down syndrome graces your home. I could never plan a greater joy or blessing for my other children than to have a brother with Down syndrome. They're not ashamed of the little brother. He has taught them to say, "I love you," and become a family that expresses that love as often as possible. We have what we call the family love circle. Our teenagers, as they started getting up in their teens, didn't like that so much. You know, we all huddle around like ball players do before they start the game. You know, we're already like that before we go out the door of our house. And after every meal, and I honestly have never one time ever since he started this as a little guy, he started thanking mom for the meal. And since that moment, I have never one time ever seen him miss it doing that. And he's always the first. He'll do it for breakfast, for lunch, for supper, for anything you give him. After every meal, it's always Paul who reminds us. Sarah, thank mom for the meal. Bobby, thank mom for the meal. Jimmy, thank mom for the meal. Dad, thank mom for the meal. At home, it's thank mom. At restaurants, it's thank dad. I pay. He never forgets. Never forgets. And neither do we. Now, that's a Down's child. You think we could do a little bit better than a Down's child, don't you? I got a little picture of him in there. The tender heartedness of a Down's child. Paul's had, you can read what's happened to him over the past. It's unbelievable. He walked the aisles of our church with a big steel halo screwed into his head, six places all the way around his head. He'd walk up down the aisle still greeting people and talking to them and always a smile, nothing about how bad it feels or anything like that. That's just the way a Down's child is. If you were extremely obese or if you had a wart that big right between your eyes, Paul would never see it. Never see it. You'd never hear a word out of him. He'll take you just as you are. And a child like that is born with an extra chromosome. It has all the characteristics of Down syndrome. But some of those characteristics are better than what I was born with. So thankfulness is God's will. Let's review. For this is the will of God. A, thankfulness pleases God. Did you know we'll be giving thanks in heaven forever? Revelation 7:11 and Revelation 9:11 talks about we're giving thanks around the throne to God forever. It'd be a great thing to get in practice right now, because that's going to be a part of our offering to Him in the great place called heaven. Look down at the bottom. Thankfulness pleases others. It pleases others. Expressing gratitude or thanks is a necessity for the child of God. It is an expression of our new nature. We're not selfish. We're not greedy. It's not me all the time. See, we're different. We're a child of God. We have a new nature within us. We can be God-like in this. And God says, this is my will for you to be like this. So live like that. It's kindness. It's good works. It's pleasing to God. When I was just graduated from high school, 18 years of age, got a job starting to work during the summer. I wanted to go to college and pitch baseball, and started working on some money there. It's what Dad wanted me to do. At our home, there wasn't a whole lot of hugs and kisses. There was love there. And I didn't doubt that for a moment. My folks had me in church all the time, just like one of you mentioned today. Always there. When I walked the aisle to be saved, Dad had never talked to me. He felt like he couldn't talk to somebody about the Lord. But when my knee hit the altar, his hand hit my back right beside me. Always there. But in our home, you didn't express love much. You didn't say it. You didn't hug before you went out the door. You didn't even shake hands on the deal. I mean, you just didn't express it. I didn't feel unloved, but a lot of people grow up that way. And many times it's because their parents grew up that way, and they did that because their parents grew up that way, and they didn't know how to express love like that. Maybe some of you are in a home like that right now growing up, or maybe you've been in one like that. But at age 18, the habit was I would take the old truck we had, and now this was way back in the way back in 1958 when I graduated. Some of you didn't even know they were 1940s and 1950s and 1960s. You know, what was that? People have, you know, did they have houses back then and cars and things? Yeah, we had some of that stuff. The habit was my dad and mom had a little bitty grocery store. We lived in a little old bitty town in the sticks of Tennessee, way back in the hills. These were mountains. You've heard of people from the sticks before? Where we live, that's where you came to get your sticks. I mean, we were so far back there. Our house, the sun set between our house and town. That was how far we were back. Now, I'm lying about that, but you know. The habit was I would drive Dad over to the store, let him out, and then I'd take the truck about 5 miles over the mountains and go to the next big town. That was the big town. They had almost 1,000 people there. That's where you go on Saturday, you see. That was the big stuff there. But that was a habit. So I was out waiting on Dad to come out early in the morning and warming up the truck. It was a cold day. And I can remember for about 3 to 4 months, I can remember vividly something inside of me saying, tell your daddy you love him. Tell your daddy you love him. Just as clear as that. I heard it over and over and over again. I didn't hear audible words, but inside something kept telling me, tell your daddy you love him. But we didn't do that at our home. We just didn't do that. And I used to practice doing that. I remember one day hadn't come out yet, and I'm sitting there in the old truck warming it up, and I looked over where Dad was going to sit, and I looked that way and said, Dad, I want you to know, sir, I love you. I love you, sir. I practiced doing that. And when he came out and got in, I don't remember if I looked that way or not, but I couldn't say a thing. I remember opening my mouth and nothing came out. Nothing would come out. And so we drove that 1 mile or so to get over there. When we came in the parking lot, he got out. And as a 18-year-old high school graduate, I was sitting there driving. I looked out this window so he wouldn't see the tears coming down my face. He got out over there. Right before he said, shut the door, I'll never forget his words, goodbye, son. Goodbye, son. Whoa. I drove on over. It takes me a little while to get over there. We had a place called Dead Man's Curve and all this kind of stuff in the mountains. And I came into work. I was working in a funeral home as a little job during the summer for a student, working in a funeral home. And I went in a room where the lady usually tells me what I'm going to do today. It's, you know, junk stuff, dirty stuff. But I walked in there. As soon as I walked in, the phone rang. She picked it up, and she wrote something down. And all of a sudden, I heard the ambulance go out. It's somebody they're after. And I was standing there, and all of a sudden, she looked over at me. Just one of those strange looks. Why did they look at me? And she said, son, that call was for your dad. You better go home. It was 55 years ago. I can feel it in my body already. Just the same day that happened. I got an old truck, and I don't know how I got there. But when you got over to our little town, you was a mile up on top of a mountain, and you had to go all the way down. When I started down and made the last curve and go to the long stretch to the bottom, I could see across the river over there, that little bitty grocery store, and that ambulance was sitting there. Man, I opened the window and I screamed all the way down that mountain, Daddy, I love you. I love you, Daddy. I love you. I love you. I love you. Just as hard as I could. Came to a sliding stop in that parking lot and ran in there, and they already had him laid out on a cot. He was gone. 2 seconds. My mother just come in after a little bit after that, and she just opened the door of the store and said, hey, hon. He said, hi, hon. Bang. Fell over. Life was over. 2 seconds. Had a heart attack. Never had a heart problem in his life. Doctor is his best friend. But life was over. And so was my opportunity. I ran in there and I jumped right on top of his body. I laid myself right on top of his body and took his head and turned to the side and screaming in his ear, Daddy, I love you. I love you, sir. I love you. I love you. They had to pull me off of him. And you know, God can forgive you for stuff like that. But it's like a scar. It's still there. You can't get rid of it. You can't say it never happened before. It did. And I don't know how many times, at least once a week, for all these years, that thought comes back to me. Why didn't I just say so simple words? Tell your daddy you love him. I love you, sir. Thank you, sir. That's the way people get. That's the way we get. Even though we love God, we can still get our lives in a fix like that. So let's finish up our notes here. It's about time to stop in a minute. I've met so many people across the country. 45-year-old son, 80-year-old father. Neither one has ever told the other he loves him. And the problem is, neither one will be first. Somewhere along the line, somebody's got to break the cycle. Some of you singles, as you grow up and start to get married, you ought to talk about that to each other. Because maybe both of you were raised that way. My wife and I, before we even got married, she said she came out of a home like that. She said, now, one thing I want to do, I want our family to be able to express love. I want a lot of loving and kissing going on in my family. I said, woo! Sounds good to me. But that's how it works. So look on the next page there. Thankfulness is God's will now, remember. It pleases God. It pleases others, obviously. Number two, thankfulness is God's way. It's God's way. It's the way He wants us to live. See? There's a little blank after that. Thankfulness is like a sacrifice or offering. You'll see that often in the Scriptures. You'll see that, there's a verse right there under that, Psalm 116:17. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and we'll call upon the name of the Lord. So, there are other things down there that would help you. Let's go to the very back page. I want you to fill in these words here because these are straight out of the Bible, and it'll give you help there for the last part of our time together here. Thank God for the gift of eternal life. Can you do that? Sure you can do that. Is it a regular habit in your life right now? Probably not. Oh, you may see it. You may be reminded of it in church when somebody says, preacher says something or your teacher says something, and it reminds you to, oh yeah, thank you, Lord, for doing that for me, or thank you, Lord, for a good home. Whatever. But here's the words. Put them in. They're real easy to put in. He was made a curse for us. This is just part of these verses, Galatians 3:13. Made a curse for us, given Himself for us, Ephesians 5:2, to be sin for us, 2 Corinthians 5:21, gave Himself for our sins, Galatians 1:4, gave Himself for me, Galatians 2:20, His own self bare our sins, 1 Peter 2:24, Christ died for our sins, 1 Corinthians 15:3. Now look what He's done for you. Look what He's already done for you. It's for us. The gift of eternal life. For us. For us. For us. Our sins. For me. Our sins. Our sins. He did it all for us. He did everything that had to take place for us. There was no other reason than a sinful man to come and down, to come for us. God Himself, who would bear our sin in His body on the tree. Just look at the rest of it. Nothing to fill in there. There are 9 verses here. Have eternal life, God says, John 3:15. You'll have everlasting life, John 3:16. You shall never die, John 11:26. You have life eternal, John 17:3. You have everlasting life, John 3:36. You shall live forever, John 6:58. I give unto them eternal life, John 10:28. I give to them eternal life, 1 John 5:11. Ye have eternal life, John 15:3. Amen. Eternal life, everlasting life, never die, life eternal, everlasting life, live forever, eternal life, eternal life, eternal life. Look what God's done for you. And you think I can't glorify Him by saying thank you, dear God, at least once a day. How about 15 times a day? All you need to do is get in the habit of it. Just do something to get that habit in your life. Let's bow our head for a moment. Would you just think how this thing could work in your life? And maybe right now, in the quietness of this moment, you just thank God for what He's done so far. Realize there's a lot more to be done. But just thank Him right now, would you please? Dear Lord, we are grateful. Make us more grateful. And we love you, sir, in your precious name. Amen. Amen. Okay.
Amen. Tremendous. Very simple but powerful message this morning. Thank you, Brother Thomas. And pray for him. He'll be preaching for us in the morning service this morning. I'm looking forward to that. Well, let's take a break.